This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Prelude to Easter, was delivered on April 17th, 2022. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Hey, you know, last week we shared about our Foursquare family, what they're doing in Poland and how they're receiving the refugees, and you know, kind of makes us proud to be part of this wonderful Foursquare family. Now, I know when I read that article, I think like, wow, that is part of our family across the world. And, you know, just so happy that we do things like that. Locally over here, we had some of our guys come last week. And across the street, part of the campus, there was a nice, good-sized pole that rotted off and was like leaning over. So we had our guys, some of our men come, and we dug up those poles, we put in new steel poles, and we remounted the gate. And it's like when these guys show up, it's like they make me so proud that our family is taking care of this campus like our home. So I ran into the athletic director last weekend. He said they're doing some things over here, having some tournaments, and would be nice if he had some help to clean the gym floor. So I volunteered myself, and some of the youth hopefully will come, but we're gonna actually scrub that floor, and we're probably gonna be on our hands and knees. It's a good thing, good practice, right? My knees are all bust up, really, really bad, but to tell you the truth, it's not from praying. I'm being honest, it's from getting on my knees and doing stuff at home. I wish I could tell you it was from praying, but the lightning will come and poof. Yeah, it's sometimes from praying, but not that much. So we're going to do that and just serve the school, because they are so kind and they're so gracious to us. And it's just, isn't this like a wonderful place to meet? We got everything we need. We got a playground, we got a gym, and I'm really thinking of, you know, opening up that gym on Sundays so that we can have a nursery place for the babies. I mean, that's a big, huge place that they can run around in. I mean, they could crawl in for a few minutes to reach the wall, so that might be a good thing. So if you want to come out next week, I encourage you to come out. We're going to pressure wash the sidewalks and get this place looking good and just in time for Easter. Amen? So take those invitations, and what I did, this is what I did for my neighbors. I got, you know, those little gift bags, filled it up with candy and all kinds of junk for their kids, and put the invitation card inside, and I took it to my neighbors. Yeah, good deal, yeah, because you give them sugar and they can run around. So I did that. I have three kids right around my house, and that's what I did for their kids. And when I took the candy over, I got a haircut for free. Good deal, yeah? Yeah, man, today is Palm Sunday. And it's like a big deal. Really is. We're entering the week, which some of us know as a Passion Week. It's like the last week of Jesus' earthly ministry here on earth. And Passion Week starts with Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And that triumphant entry refers to the day known as Palm Sunday that occurred today, thousands of years ago, 1 week prior to his resurrection, to his Friday crucifixion. You know, you can read about this in all four of the Gospels as one of the key events to the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a young donkey, colt, that has never been ridden, alongside another donkey. And this disciples placed their jackets or their cloaks on the colt for Jesus to ride. And if you think about it, this was describing the fulfilling of prophecy found in Zechariah. This was Zechariah wrote about this like 500 something years ago. And it's like, wow, you think about it. If you was to write something now that would come through 500 years from now, you think it will come true? Maybe like we would all be gone, the earth would be full of radiation and everybody would be dead and some of us would be in heaven, the rest would be in hell. Maybe that would be true. But in Zechariah, he wrote, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he. He is humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." I mean, 500-something years ago he wrote that. And a lot of the people in Jerusalem who saw Jesus arrive acknowledged or treated him as royalty. Many of them put their cloaks on the road and they spread leafy branches. Some gospels say leafy branches. Some gospels say palm leaves that they were cut and they were placing them ahead of him. And the people of Jerusalem sang praises to him in Matthew 21:9. Explains, "The crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.' Hosanna," which means save, we pray. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus' arrival during this Passover week led to, like, he was getting, like, choke attention in the city. And Matthew 21:10 notes that when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" I mean, really, if you didn't know who, they didn't have social media, all right? So, I would assume many people didn't know. But man, that's the people were like, "Where were you all these 30 years that he was around?" They said, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." So even the disciples, they really didn't understand the significance of all this. In John 12:16, reveals that his disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. It's like after something happens, they realize, oh, that's what he was talking about. You know, the light went on. Somebody, you ever had that experience that after something happened, oh, shoots. Somebody tell you a joke, and when I go home at 10 o'clock at night, then I start laughing. Like, oh, I finally got it. Little slow. So they was getting all this attention. But now that Jesus was getting all this, the Pharisees were jealous of this attention that Jesus was getting. And in John 12:17, says the crowds that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was they heard that he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." So there was like, I guess the Pharisees felt like they was losing grip on the control that they had, and the people were flocking towards Jesus. Man, if they were smart, they would have gone to Jesus too. There are many reasons this triumphal entry of Jesus was important, and it served, one of them, it served as the fulfillment of prophecy, the recognition of his role, and it kind of prepared the way for the events that led to his death and his resurrection. It also reminds us how important it is to recognize that Jesus is King. You know, we're reading right now, we're reading in the Old Testament, and we're reading in Samuel. And it was so sad, you know, because we read 1 Samuel, we're reading along, and now the people are telling Samuel, hey, we want a king. We want a king, like the nations around us. So in other words, they're rejecting God as their king, and they want a man king, like the heathen nations around him. And it's like, I mean, come on, guys, really? After all he did, all the miracles? No, so it's like, I read that every year, and I kind of cringe. And it's like, so sad, because they did that. So it's important when we read about Jesus entering into Jerusalem, we recognize him as king. Not like back then, not as the king that they desired, because they wanted a king who would kick out the Romans and bring them back as their people, God's people, and not under Roman rule. But that wasn't Jesus' purpose. He came as a spiritual leader, a king. And that's the thing. So Jesus came to deliver us, not from the power of the Roman oppression, but as a king to deliver you and me from the power of sin and the imprisonment that sin has on us. The triumphal entry is something we celebrate and we commemorate today. Truly, Jesus is our deliverer and our king, worthy of our praise and adoration. Right? So, really, Jesus is our king. He's the only one who can deliver us and save us from ourselves. I mean, how many of you tried saving yourself for many, many years and then realized, like, this is useless? I tried. And you know what? I failed. And finally, after 37 years, the light went on. Bing! Like, yeah. So I told myself, well, at least I never wandered for 40 years. So I beat them by 3 years. So if you beat them, if you got saved before 40, then you're good. You beat them. They beat the guys wandering around for 40 years. But this is what the scripture says in Matthew 21:6. The disciples went and did just as Jesus instructed them. Now, pretty cool, because if you read, you know, Jesus told his disciples, go into the city and go grab this donkey. And you're thinking like, why is he asking me to go steal? Kind of like, hey, go down to Hilo and go grab me that nice 4Runner. No way. What, you gonna come visit me in jail? So he told him, instructing him. And they went, and it was as he said. And when the guy questioned, what are you doing with this? He said, oh, the master is in need of it. So they said, go ahead then. If you went into town and take somebody's 4Runner and said, Pastor Scott is in need of it. Who's that? 911, jail. But because it's not as I say. Jesus is, he said, and it was just as he said. They brought the donkey and the coat and laid their coats on him, and he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats on the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, who is this? And the crowds were saying, the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Jesus rode on a donkey for a few reasons. And one of the first one was to fulfill the prophecy that we read in Zechariah 9:9, that he is coming on a colt, mounted on a donkey, even on a colt. And like I said, 500 years ago, when Jesus made his entry riding on a donkey, a lowly donkey, you know, it was a symbol of peace. You see, in the Bible, when horses are mentioned, they're almost in relation to a king who is going to war, who is going to fight a battle. I mean, could you see a king riding into battle on a donkey? Or as the King James Version would say, I'm not going to say it, but you know what it means, right? So it was, riding on a donkey was more like a peaceful thing. Donkeys were mentioned in relation to a lot of the common people. Maybe they couldn't afford horses, so they got donkeys. And the donkey's purpose was mainly in agriculture and trade. Smaller than horses, gifted. Donkeys gifted with cautiousness. Remember, what was that guy who the donkey went to talk to him? You remember that guy? And no, not Shrek. Good answer. Good answer. By the way, that was Fred. But so he was going, and then he seen the angel of death, right, standing blocking the way, and the angel was cautious. He didn't want to go. So it's gifted with cautiousness. That, like Balaam, he sometimes you can mistake that for being stubborn. Donkeys were not used in times of war. And the prophecy was fulfilled in Matthew 21, 1 to 11, when Jesus rode on a donkey into Jerusalem. It was a triumphal entry because he had done so without bloodshed on the side of the people. So that was one of the reasons that I believe that he went in on a donkey, because it was a symbol of peace. Second, in the ancient biblical word, a leader rode on a horse, he was coming for war, and a donkey to signify peace. So like I said, you know, you go on a donkey, it's like going on a donkey. I don't think you would feel threatened when you see someone coming to you on a donkey. Because some of you tall guys would probably be just as tall as the rider on the donkey. Of course, I would be looking up to the donkey. Versus somebody coming to you on a horse, which could be, you know, I look at horses and I get intimidated. I just think of them kicking me and that's sore. So, yeah, he rode on a horse and was coming to signify peace. Third, Jesus, he rode on a donkey because most of the people could associate with having a donkey, because that's what they use for trade, for the agricultural purposes. So, and he could relate, the poor people could relate to him. And Jesus came to embrace the poor, the sick, during his time here on earth, and he healed many of them. His choice of a donkey instead of a horse was God's way of saying that he came as a king who will serve the oppressed, not a king who is going to take you by the sword and rule in a physical way. So I want you to really understand three things that we get to observe on Palm Sunday, which is today. Number one, they all knew Christ as the Messiah. And they knew this from things that was written long ago. In Psalms 118:25, O Lord, do save. We beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you. Do send prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. So they were shouting all these things. It's just so sad, because when you read about this, when he came into the town, they were, you know, crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And they were shouting all these great praises to him. Only less than a week later, like Walt said, they were going to crucify him. It's like, oh my gosh. And you kind of think, like, how could you? How could you do that in less than a week? right? And then, you know what the Lord tells me, right? Well, how could you? Sunday you sing praises. Tomorrow you cuss the guy who cut in front of you. The guy who created in my image. Ooh, shoot. I do the same thing. So you guys, I've talked to a few of you in the last couple of weeks. You tell me how people cut you off. And I am so happy. Because I thought I was the only one. The sign in the front of my truck says, cut me off, please do so. But, you know, we praise the Lord one day, and the next day we curse man who isn't created in God's image. Now, you guys tell me, any of you don't do that? Nobody's hands are up. That means you guys are truthful. We don't need to write a sermon on truth, because you guys know. Right? So, number two, they recognized Christ, that Christ was king. And in 2 Kings, this is what they did. They hurried. Each man took his garment and placed it under him on the bare steps and blew the trumpet, singing, Jehu is king. Now, just as they did for Jehu, to recognize him as king, they did that same thing for Jesus. Why else would they lay their garments down for him if they didn't believe that he was king? Granted, I don't think they believed it for long, because come Friday, he was yelling, crucify him, unless that was a different crowd of people. Most of the crowd spread their coats on the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the in the road, that Matthew 21:8. So they knew who this guy was. Sometimes we know who God is, or we know about God. But the thing is, we need to go beyond knowing to accepting and receiving. See, these guys, they knew Christ was the Messiah. They knew Christ was king. But maybe they didn't go past that. Number three, they honored him as both king and Messiah. Zechariah 9:9, again, they say, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Your king. This is your king, people. He is coming to you. He is just, endowed with salvation, humble, mounted on a donkey. They knew, but that's all. I think for most of them, that's the farthest it went. Up here, they knew, but it didn't go from here to here. That's why they say some people are going to miss heaven by 18 inches. Because it didn't go from head knowledge to receiving Jesus in their heart. You know, that entry of Jesus riding into Jerusalem was predicted 500 years. Christ's entry into Jerusalem signaled the start of the last week of his earthly ministry. And they shouted, blessed is he. It must have been such a beautiful sight to see the multitudes welcoming him. But then so sadly, by Friday, they were yelling, crucify him. This is what I want for you to do this week. This week, go look at what happened on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday was pretty much silent, Thursday and Friday. This week, let us remember that our sinless Savior, Jesus Christ, took the punishment that you and I should have been receiving. Took it to the cross, nailed it there, so that we can be forgiven. We can have a relationship with God. Remember that while you and I were still sinners out there unsaved, Jesus Christ died for us. This is the week that we are reminded that you and I, we cannot save ourselves, but Christ can save us. So why is Palm Sunday so important? It is because our King and our Savior came to save us through his sacrificial death on the cross. Can you imagine? I don't know, man. You can imagine getting spikes pounded through your hands and your feet. The pain. And then, you know, they say when you're crucified, you gotta push up to breathe, because the position of it, you cannot breathe. So that's why when they don't die from the crucifixion, they break your legs, so you cannot stand up, so you suffocate. But that's what he went through for us. Think about that. He came for that. And Palm Sunday, he rode into town knowing what he was going to go through at the end of the week. I mean, if you knew that you was going to get crucified and nailed to a cross if you went into a town, would you still go? Would you do the Jonah? Whew. I probably would do the Jonah. I would say I would go, but I don't know if I would go. That's a tough choice, but he went. This week, prepare yourselves for Resurrection Sunday. Pray. Thank God for Jesus. And you know what? Most of all, this is what I desire. Go ahead and invite someone. Really? Because that's what Jesus came for. You know how many people out there that are running around looking for hope with the war in Ukraine, with North Korea threatening South Korea, China, we don't know if they're going to hop on the board with Russia. You know, like the Bible said, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, the sign of the end times. So we, you and I, including me, we need to get out there, even you guys out there on Facebook, okay? This does not, because you're not here, this doesn't exclude you. Go, because the Bible tells us to go. Go and invite someone. Just tell them, hey, we're having an Easter egg hunt. Bring your kids after church, and we're going to let them go grab some eggs, feed them sugar, then send them home with you. It's going to be a great day. So, yeah, and just tell them, you know, like the Bible says, tell them, hey, you don't have to explain everything. Just tell them, come and see. Come and see. Get them curious. Tell them your pastor is crazy. He's crazy. He's a 5'3" crazy guy who's afraid of public speaking. And that's what, I mean, can you guys do that? Just go. And ask the Holy Spirit to give you boldness. Because sometimes it's shy. Sometimes we get shot down when we invite people. That's part of the process. I get shot down so many times. And I get lectured too. But that's okay, because it's not going to stop me from sharing the ultimate gift with the world. Amen? Yeah. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And pray with me. Heavenly Father, I pray for each person here, young, old, male, female, whatever it may be, that your Holy Spirit would fill them, that they would be so bold to go out and invite someone to come celebrate the resurrection with us next week, Sunday. Lord, I pray that as the enemy tries to hinder us from going, tries to make us make excuses, that we would not fall for his traps, that we would go out and tell people, come and see, that next week, Sunday, that we would be able to bring forth a harvest of new souls that would enter into heaven because of you using us to reach the lost and save this world. So, Lord, I pray that we would be bold. I pray that you would give us confidence. And, Lord, I pray that you would give us many opportunities to invite people into your presence. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for this day that we call Palm Sunday, that you rode triumphantly into Jerusalem, knowing what was going to happen to you at the end of the week. You went willingly because you love us that much. So we are grateful and thankful for what you have done and what you continue to do in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Okay, so next week is resurrection. We're going to pack some eggs early in the morning. So we're going to, after service, we're gonna have them on the field. Hopefully it's not raining. And just have a blast. All right, so, man, I pray that you guys have a fantastic week. And just think about what Jesus done for us all week long. Amen. Amen. Would you stand and join us?
All right. Whew, what a great message. I know that you've taught us, you looked up the Hebrew, you looked up the Greek, you looked up the Latin for the word go. And the meaning of the word is go. Yeah, so it's a great chance that we can accept this week. You know, look for those and pray that God will bring people across our path just to invite. That's all we can do is invite, you know, spread the seed.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in KL, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.